Hey everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett. On today's episode of the Mayor's Table, we have Myra Newman, our division manager for the Farmington Indian Center here, telling us all the great things happening at our Indian Center here in the city, events coming up and things that you can volunteer for. Everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Mayor's Table. I think we should start numbering these episodes of the Mayor's Table so we could be like show 555.
Ooh, I'm 555.
555, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. But with me today, we have a great guest and somebody that's long overdue to have on the show, and that's Myra Newman, our division manager for the Indian Center.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you on and talk about the Indian Center, because I think a lot of people may not even know that we have an Indian Center.
A lot of people don't know, and a lot of people don't know that they're welcome at the Indian Center.
That's a very valid point. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about maybe the history of the Indian Center. I mean, we're about ready to celebrate, I think, a pretty good milestone.
Yes. Actually, the Indian Center was born in 1974. So come 2024, we will be 50 years old.
That is incredible.
So that's a good one. Yes.
And I think the research that I've done kind of shows that we may be just one of a few Indian centers that are left here in the United States. And I know we have a particularly special designation as the only Indian center that's funded fully by a municipal government. Is that right?
Yes. Throughout the country, there are Indian centers that are located off reservation. So they're categorized as urban Indian centers.
Okay.
So, and that's only because they're off reservation. So with Farmington sitting so close to the reservation of the Navajo Nation and our other local tribes, we are not on those lands, and we're in the city of Farmington, so we're considered an urban Indian center. But yes, and we are fully funded by a municipal government as opposed to the other Indian centers who rely totally on donations, grants, federal funds, tribal funds, if they can get those, and that's how they fund their programming. But with us, we get fully funded by the government. The municipal government, with the city of Farmington and all of our citizens, and we're able to provide services, programming, and activities.
And the Indian Center is a part of the Parks and Recreation Division.
Yes.
Of the city, and so you get those kind of resources as well. But what I've noted this year is our attendance at the Indian Center is up, which means you're doing a great job, Myra.
Oh, thank you.
And your staff, of course. But tell us a little bit about maybe what all activities you do there, events, things that may be coming up that we can celebrate.
Well, our main activity or our main service, really kind of what circles around us, is our restaurant services. So at the Indian Center, Tuesday through Friday, we serve breakfast and lunch, Navajo cuisine, if you want to call that, with our Southwest flair of burritos. So we sell breakfast burritos Tuesday through Friday, and it comes with a homemade tortilla, eggs, hash browns, and a choice of meat. And then at lunch, we'll sell our more of the Navajo cuisine with homemade tortillas, fried bread, mutton stew, and those are different each day. And then we have our tacos, Frito pies, whatever else you may. Oh, spam sandwiches, those are popular.
I love spam.
So you
spam.
Come and get a spam sandwich, and you get a bag of chips, and you're ready to go out the door if you need to be in a hurry. But those are pretty popular, and it's a neat place for people to gather and be comfortable, and it's nice.
Well, I kind of like that idea, because for me, breaking bread is one of the best ways to, A, it's a comforting thing, mm-hmm. B, it's a conversational piece to, mm-hmm. you know, and creates what I call a safe environment for people to sit and talk and mm-hmm. and just enjoy themselves. But specific to the cuisine that we serve there, mm-hmm. that provides also a local component to it, and probably very unique, I think. I don't know how many municipal governments have a restaurant as a part of their kind of offerings, but this is, I love it. I love the mm-hmm. fact that it's dedicated to Navajo cuisine, mm-hmm. And I hear it's very good.
I can attest to that. It's very good.
Well, I had the opportunity during one of our big state conferences that we had here, because we used the mm-hmm. Navajo Rug Museum as a mm-hmm. place to share local cuisine. And I think we served, did we do pozole? Am I thinking pozole? What did we have that night?
Oh, no, actually, that for the New Mexico Municipal League. That was one of our activities where we were able to step out of the center and get into the community and share our culture and what we as Navajo people, as well as our great city, can offer. So we came in, our staff, and we served steamed corn stew.
That's what it was.
With the mutton.
Yep.
And then the blue corn meal.
Mush.
Blue corn mush. Yep. And then we also added a tortilla on there. So they were able, the people from throughout all the municipalities from the state of New Mexico came in, and it was really nice to see. So a lot of the times I'm out talking to people and asking them about, and informing them or giving them information about what they're eating. A lot of them were really interested in it, and a lot of them were actually familiar with it. Not in our setting, but more from their Hispanic culture.
Okay.
So we were able to talk a lot about, oh, my grandma used to make this, but we used to do put this in there or whatever. And so it was really neat how we were able to make that connection. And it was comforting for them to relive that and have that. And for the people for the first time, it was really exciting because they were like, ooh, I'm trying this. And that was one of the things we were trying to do, is really give them an authentic opportunity to try something. And it was really neat. So
I think it turned out really well. And I noted where you were at, mm-hmm. it was a very busy area. I mean, there mm-hmm. was a lot of people coming in there. And mm-hmm. so hopefully we got some really good feedback from folks, because that was a good opportunity to showcase mm-hmm. what we do.
I think that was neat. And we were also able to be in the Museum of Navajo Arts and Culture. So that was they were able to eat and walk around and just have that whole experience. So I think that was a great event.
And we had a lady in there who was, I believe, making a rug.
We had a lady make, we had somebody doing an exhibition of rugs, and then we also had one of the local singers providing music in the background, and that was flute, drumming, singing, guitar. It was really neat, so they were able to get all of that whole little experience, and it was downtown, so that made it more fun.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful down mm-hmm. there. With Myron, you've been there 18 years almost?
Almost, coming up.
Almost 18 mm-hmm. years. I mean, can you kind of tell us a little about any stories or things of individuals? I got to think that maybe folks from outside, when they're coming to this area, they're looking for some authentic local flair, and mm-hmm. I would imagine the Indian Center stands out. Can you share any stories of experiences maybe that people have had that are pretty special?
I think there's a lot of them in 18 years of my time there, and actually the times have changed as well. So when I started way back in the mid 2000s up till now, I think technology and just how people communicate have really made a difference in who comes to visit us. So the internet is a big factor in that.
Sure.
So we have people who use social media, and that has increased our numbers a lot. And people who use that come in. We most recently, but in 2020 during COVID, when we were doing curbside services,
right.
We actually stopped serving inside, with the pandemic and all of that. And we had a gentleman come in or call us and said, I want to talk Navajo. And we're like, okay, you want to talk Navajo? So our fluent speaker, Shauna, our assistant manager, got on, and she said, sure. So, she was entertaining him and, just kind of going along. And he was asking her, I want to buy a burrito. How much is it? Because money is very hard to talk, to learn in Navajo. It's, $5 is a long word in Navajo, as you go on with the dollars and the cents and the decimal point you have to even put in there. But so she's talking to him, and then she starts talking to him more, and then we go outside to serve him, and he's there with a camera. So his partner there has a camera, and they're telling us that they're YouTubers.
Okay.
And they asked us, have you heard of us? And we said no. And he said his name was Shauma. So Shauma, New York City. So his channel is Shauma NYC. And Shauma is a genius who knows a lot of languages and learns languages. And his hardest one that he admits to was learning Navajo, and he tried and learned that within 3 months.
Really?
And he said it was the hardest because he still couldn't get it. And it was very difficult for him. And we were unsure of someone coming in saying they're a YouTuber. And so while I was talking to him, Shauna was on her phone looking him up, and we kind of looked over, and he had 3 million followers at that time. And we're like, oh, we got to bring this guy in.
Right.
So Shauna came in, and we have some photos on the walls of Farmington in the area, like say late 50s, early 60s. And so I started showing him, because those pictures do depict a lot of the culture, like a hogan with a dirt floor, mm-hmm. A grandma making food on a fire inside the hogan. So those are great talking points to talk about. So I took Shauma in, and it was really neat, and he was excited, and we were trying to talk Navajo, and he, you know, because I'm not fluent, but I try and I understand well. And so we took him, and we gave him an opportunity to make his own tortilla that morning.
Okay.
So if you ever want to see that, we you know, the Farmington Indian Center, city of Farmington, we're out there in the world. And right now, if you look Shauma up, you'd probably look at maybe over 6 million viewers.
Wow.
And you know, I'm sure a lot of those are repeat viewers, but yeah. We have a lot of neat followers, and we've had people come in that said, oh, I saw that guy on YouTube and I want to come in. So you have different people. Most recently we had a couple from Venezuela who came in, and they were online as well, looking for a place to have local food, and they found the Indian Center, and they came in, and they were excited because we actually said hello and said some talking to them, because in New York City, it's quick. Everybody's on their own. Yeah, they're going where they need to go. And we stopped and said hello, and we got to visit with them, and they were excited. And Venezuela, our blue corn mush, which was on a Friday, we served that on Fridays. They were actually able to try that. And we were able to talk about the similarities of what they serve in their homeland. Theirs is a little more sweet with coconut milk.
Okay.
So
I bet that's really good.
I'm sure it is. Maybe we need to try that one.
We should
try
that one. Mm-hmm. Venezuela Friday.
Yeah. International Friday. And so we talked about that. But one of the biggest things and the most exciting part for the gentleman was he wanted to know if Bigfoot was real.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, is Bigfoot real? And I said, yes, he is. I believe. And in our area, I was telling him, drive around. I said, look at those bumper stickers and those vehicles. You're going to see something Bigfoot related. And I was telling him about one of the local areas on the reservation near us in Upper Fruitland. They have a Bigfoot convention.
Yes, they
year.
Do.
So, and he was so excited, and it was fun talking to them about it. And so
I just love to hear that. You know, mm-hmm. we're bringing people from all over the world, and they're finding us. And mm-hmm. the Indian Center plays a role in what they take away from, mm-hmm. you know, Farmington and New Mexico. I think that's awesome.
And even like internationally, like I said, and then in our own country, coast to coast. So I talked to you about the couple from Venezuela now in New York City, and then we had a family from Portland.
Okay.
So we had a young family with two young homeschool children come through one day. Same thing, trying to, you know, look for some local flavor. Came in, and they tried the food. And for us, it's exciting when you see somebody who is genuinely interested in us, in what we do and what we serve.
Right.
And where we live, you know, and they want to know. So it's exciting when somebody does that. And so they were eating, and they had their meals, and the young girl, she's probably maybe 5 or 6 years old, long, beautiful blonde hair, just long. And that was something I saw, and I was looking at, and I was telling her about a hair bun, you know, the Navajo hair bun. And I said, would you like me to, I asked her, can I make you a hair bun? You know, and then her mom's like, you know, yeah, go ahead. And she's like, okay, you know. So I ran in back, and we made her a hair tie. You might be familiar with the people who wear the hair buns. They have the big long hair tie, like string, and really depends on how long your hair is. So I had her make it with me. It doesn't take very long to string in it. And she sat so quietly, and she let me make her hair bun, and it came out pretty good because she had long hair. And she was so proud after that. She she just her whole posture, everything, her demeanor changed. She was like proud and just kind
of awesome.
And happy. And that made me happy, and she was proud, and she had that experience. And when she left, she walked out like a young lady, you know, ready to go. And it was really exciting. But we have all of our old and new friends, and that's one of the things we say, come meet old friends and make new ones.
Yeah.
You can do that at the Indian Center.
Well, you're doing a great job of that.
Thank you.
And I need to get in there and mm-hmm. have some lunch mm-hmm. and try all the different stews. I love stews.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite things to make. So I need to get in there and check all those out. So one thing that people may not know, and so the facility itself, we have a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to showers and restrooms as well. For folks who want to come in, is that correct?
The restaurant part's correct. The showers are something that are no longer there.
Oh, okay.
So in 2020, when things were kind of happening, one of the people within our department through Parks and Rec was able to secure CDBG money, so the Community Development Block Grant monies.
Right.
They were able to do that. And what she did was she got money to renovate the restrooms. We were able to renovate the bathrooms, but it wasn't a whole lot to truly do a renovation for our building, because it was built in 1979.
Right.
So solid walls with limited grant funds were not in the budget. So the decision was to just go ahead and get the renovations that we needed for handicap accessibility and make sure everything is nice, new fixtures, things like that. So the showers were actually closed.
Okay.
So but that didn't leave people without. So what people can do when they do want public showers, and where we'll refer them to, is to the recreation center or to any of the pools.
Right.
So if someone is in need, you know, they would do that. And all of those facilities are accessible to everybody, just like they would have been at the Indian Center.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to clarify that. Mm-hmm. One thing we don't do there, we don't have any social services as a part of our programming. So we have social service groups here within the city
mm-hmm.
That we refer people to from the Indian Center. Is that right?
That's correct. A lot of Indian centers throughout the country, and then if you get into like tribal lands like the Navajo Nation with chapter houses, they have those programs in-house. When the Indian Center first started, they actually had that type of service. They had housing assistance programs in there that would help people get housing. The National Indian Youth Council for Employment and Education Services, Women, Infants, and Children through the Navajo Nation. There were a lot of people, not a lot, but probably about five groups of people in there. And then those have changed throughout the years. But when they come in, they outgrow our facility. So the services are still in Farmington for people to access. They're just not in our building.
Right.
So what we do in terms of social services are more referrals.
Okay.
And trying to do a warm referral, not just say, go down the street and they're over there, here's their address. You know, it's like, let me call, let me see if they're taking anybody in there. What's your name? I'll let them know you're on your way. You know, things like that. So we try to do that. So our staff, their task to be informed and to know what's happening out there within the city so that
right.
we can send our people to the correct places. And then a lot of times people think that, I can't go to the Indian Center. They're not going to help me because I'm not Native American. That's not correct. We help and try to guide people as much as we can. If we don't speak their language, thankfully we have Google interpreters on our phones, and we can try to do that.
Yeah.
So we've done that as well. And then where the Indian Center is located, we're actually located within the hub of a lot of social services. So like the food bank is there, the Daily Bread is there, around us,
right.
Catholic Social Service. So we're in that hub, as well as our neighbors right behind us would be the human services. So they have Medicaid and things like that in there. So and then we have a bus stop nearby too. So if they can't drive or walk across town, we have that there as well. So we're located in a good spot, and we try to get people to the right places.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like it is a good location. We have events there too, and I know we just recently had a really neat event, and then we have a great event coming up.
Yes, we have several events throughout the year, but you know our weekly services the restaurant, so that keeps us busy all the time. But we do our special events, and so just recently we had our fall Navajo song and dance, and that's open to everyone, the community. It's free, and we do that in our backyard. So we are very blessed to have a nice little park in the back with big grass, and we had dancers from throughout the area, the region, and then singing groups, and they come in. So it's a social dance. It's more fun. A lot of people, and we had a lot of different ages.
Yeah.
So it's a neat day to come out. Weather was great for the fall. Usually it's kind of chilly, but we were blessed with great weather.
The weekend was incredible.
Yeah, so we had a great time there, it was fun. We had young teenagers from Pedro Vista High School, Miss Indigenous and Mr. Indigenous, and they were our head dancers.
All right.
So you have to have somebody like leads all the dancers every dance. So let's get these young teenagers out there with all their energy to keep going all day. And they did for pretty much most of the day. And so it was fun. And we have that every fall. So
okay.
That's one thing that people can look forward to. So we have our special events that are pretty much identified for which season. Fall's usually our bigger season, our busiest season, and then we do the different things throughout the year as well. So being in Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Affairs, we have pools and the Senior Center and the Civic Center and the museum. So we're part of that group. So when they want us, we go. Yeah. And just sort of like with the Municipal League, when we went there to help out with that, that's where we're at. And we did a Fun Day Monday at the Nature Center, so that was fun. We made duck calls with the kids, and we should make one of those together, Bayer.
Yeah.
And then also pumpkins, and then the other thing we did most recently for Indigenous Peoples Day, Jack Lowry from the Bonnie Dallas Senior
yeah.
Center invited us over, so we did a little weaving activity with the, with
All
the
right.
elders, so they got to make their small little rug, and we got to visit and chat with them. So
I
that was
it.
Fun. So there's a lot of different things we like
that
to
you're
do.
Involved in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's great that we get you out around town to all the different facilities
mm-hmm.
to provide that kind of touch to it.
Yeah.
But you've got a veterans event coming up on Friday the 10th.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, that's fun. Veterans Day, the Thanksgiving holiday, that's all kind of in our time right now. So what we have done since earlier in the 2000s, it sounds so funny to say, since about 2006, 2007, we've had an activity called Giving Thanks for Our Veterans. So kind of put those together rather than just Thanksgiving dinner, but you know, also bringing in the veterans and giving them thanks and their families for all their service.
Yeah.
So we have a great meal. We try to start people out before they get turkeyed out. We start them out with a turkey meal on that day. So we'll do turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy. And we have, you know, somebody providing entertainment in the back. And then we'll also have some craft vendors outside as well. So that's it. It's a great time to come in and eat, have fun, and do some shopping.
And that's on Friday the 10th?
Friday the 10th. We start at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
The meal is $8. And it's a big operation. It's a big task that day. So we are fortunate enough to get young people from Navajo Prep through their volunteer program. They come and they're always excited to do that. They want to serve people, and they want to serve their elders and especially the veterans. So they come and they serve food, they bag food, they're washing dishes, they're, you know, taking the garbage out, they're greeting people. It's really neat. So it's a fun day. You should come.
I love that we include the schools and mm-hmm. stuff that we're doing. You mentioned Pedro Vista, you mentioned Navajo Prep. So I think that's incredibly important that they're attuned to
mm-hmm.
to these, you know, these types of offerings and activities.
It is.
And how they can volunteer for those things too, because that's kind of the mission I'm on right now
mm-hmm.
With this city, is that people need to understand that it's their city. It's not the government's city. It's your city.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you want to see and the city that you want to have, you need to be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak from that individuals who want to do positive things, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But we need people to get out of their house. We need them to find the things that they're passionate with and get involved with face-to-face relations. We got to get back to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we accomplished well at the Indian Center, is we've created a space for that. to take place. But if people are interested in volunteering for any of your activities, where do they need to go?
Just like any other facility or division in the department within the City of Farmington, they would go online to the City of Farmington website, say volunteer, you're going to hit that button, you fill out that application, very simple, very quick, and that once that's complete, there's an option on there with all of these different areas within the city that you can volunteer at, and so you're not subjected to one place all the time. So the Indian Center, we're on that list. So if you want to volunteer at the Bonnie Dallas Senior Center, yes, you wouldn't do that, excuse me, but you could also click the Indian Center. And then if there's anything that's coming up, you either call us or you're on the list and you get called.
Yeah.
So that's one way to do it. So a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, and it is a process to do that. So with the larger groups, like through the Navajo Prep, they get all of that through their sponsors.
Yeah.
So they fix all that for us. So it's really neat.
Now the MVP, the Mayor's Volunteer Partnership website's great. And there is all those different facilities and activities that we need people to be a part of. And they're fun, and it's just great to be out and give of yourself, I think, is one of the key things. And that's what I find the joy in you, Myra, talking about you, just how much you appreciate the opportunities to make a connection with folks who are coming into your place.
Yes.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add?
Nothing in particular. Just come on, you know, inviting everybody out. You know, you're coming with soon for some lunch.
Yes,
you say.
Ma'am. We'll try and be there for Veterans Day as well.
Breakfast, oh yeah. And then if you're on the go, just call it in and we'll have it ready for you. And it's a fun place. And you'll see people. You'll probably know people. And like not, you're going to walk out with knowing somebody and meeting somebody and making a new friend.
Sure.
You know that, I'm serious.
That's great.
So it's a neat thing that we have.
Well, thank you again, Myra, for being with us. And the address for the Indian Center is 100 West Elm Street. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, if you haven't been out to the Farmington Indian Center, now you know all about it directly from Myra Newman, our division manager there. And we hope you can come out, and it is open to everybody. And I think that's the most important thing. Just like all of our facilities, of course, they're all open to everybody. Come out and experience something new maybe that you haven't done before at the Farmington Indian Center. Thanks again for joining us here on the Mayor's Table. We hope you all have a wonderful Veterans Day. We salute our veterans and thank you for your service. And we'll see you here next time.